Penguin Random House Canada presents Rough Magic by Miranda Newman. Read for you by Rebecca Auerbach, with dedication and acknowledgements read by Miranda Newman.
4. My grandparents.
This rough magic I here abjure, and when I have required some heavenly music, which even now I do, to work mine end upon their senses that this airy charm is for, I'll break my staff, bury it certain fathoms in the earth, and deeper than did ever plummet sound, I'll drown my book. William Shakespeare, The Tempest. It was as if they didn't have emotional skin, as if they had suffered from third-degree burns all over their body. Even the lightest touch was excruciatingly painful, and they lived in environments where everyone kept poking at them. Marcia Linehan, Building a Life Worth Living. Psychic Bleeding. The sandy-haired admitting psychiatrist Rick, which isn't his real name but a pseudonym, which I use for many other people who appear in this book, smiled gently at me over his half-moon-shaped glasses. I had just finished cataloging my personal and medical history in the recycled air of a hospital meeting room, a routine so familiar from 12 years of seeking mental health care that reciting my symptoms felt like muscle memory. My partner, M, waited beyond the door in a locked lounge at Toronto's largest mental health hospital, the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. The waiting room, papered with AWOL risk signs, was named after a notable philanthropist I used to see at the boozy candlelit literary galas I coordinated during a more functional time in my life. "I feel like it's worth mentioning that you're a lot more self-aware than most of the patients I see," Rick said. His hands rested on top of a manila folder, the only clutter in an otherwise sterile and featureless room. He wore a collared shirt, eschewing the lab coat uniform sported by so many of his colleagues. "You definitely have symptoms of PTSD. I was wondering, though, has anyone ever suggested that you might have borderline personality disorder?" By 27 years old, it had taken 3 hospitalizations, countless hours in waiting rooms that smelled of disinfectant mingled with piss, several legal forms that allowed medical professionals to detain me against my will for psychiatric assessment, so many drug counselors, nurses, occupational therapists, and psychologists that their faces fused together in my mind, gallons of my tears, moderate liver damage, and a pint or so of blood to find a diagnosis that might fit my symptoms. In the days leading up to my hospitalization, these symptoms included a swarm of suicidal urges so powerful I had to hit the sides of my head with my fists to try to stop the chaos. I felt aimless in my work, unsure of what my goals were or where my life choices were leading me. I didn't know who I was or why I was living. I began to believe my partner, despite all evidence to the contrary, wanted me dead, and was trying to push me to suicide through unspoken tests and intentional thoughtlessness. This activated my fear of abandonment, which sent panic attack after panic attack crashing over me in steady waves. I relied on weed too frequently to dull the sharp edges of my thoughts. I was plagued by fleeting mood swings, so intense they caused physical discomfort. I slipped outside my body into a gray place away from any feeling, until it was clear my symptoms were just getting worse. "No," I said. I pressed the nicotine patch a nurse had given me deeper into the fleshy part of my upper arm. But when I had benefits through my old job, I saw a private therapist who specialized in dialectical behavior therapy, which is a treatment for BPD, isn't it?
"It is. Did you find it helpful?"
I nodded. "Way more than cognitive behavioral therapy."
"Let's take a look at the symptoms of BPD together," Rick said.
He pulled a single sheet of paper from the folder that sat on the table between us. Rick had paid me a compliment about self-awareness,
while he was on the precipice of suggesting I had one of the hardest to treat and least understood personality disorders on record. I think he was trying to fortify me against what was to come. I would soon take on a label that colored all of my future interactions with the mental health community, and one that many psychiatrists would simply refuse to treat. BPD has long confounded the medical community. Adolf Stern was among the first to attempt to define and characterize the disorder. In an obituary published in the Psychoanalytic Quarterly, Stern was remembered as a self-effacing, serene man of astute and practical wisdom, who enjoyed playing golf and spent much of his free time talking about psychoanalysis to anyone who would listen, never missing an opportunity to share his knowledge with others. By the time he died at his New Jersey vacation home in 1958, the physician's influence on psychiatry and psychoanalysis had been significant. Stern was the first American psychoanalyst to train with Sigmund Freud, and was one of the few remaining first-generation psychoanalysts in America at the time of his death. He was president of the New York Psychoanalytic Society for 3 terms. His theories are described in The History of Countertransference as hugely relevant. As psychoanalysis fell out of favor, Stern was remembered not for his contributions to the Freudian practice, but as the so-called father of the psychiatric use of the term borderline. In 1938, Stern presented a seminal paper, Psychoanalytic Investigation of and Therapy in the Borderline Group of Neuroses, to the New York Psychoanalytic Society. In his paper, he chronicled patients who were neither psychotic nor neurotic. It was a group that had been previously described by American physician Irving Ross in 1890 as a class of persons standing in the twilight of right reason and despair. Individuals with minds trembling in the balance between reason and madness are not so sane as to be able to control themselves, nor yet so insane as to require restraint or seclusion. Like Ross, Stern found these people similarly confounding. He noted that this borderline group of patients is extremely difficult to handle effectively by any psychotherapeutic method. When he tried to treat these people, Stern found psychoanalysis offered little help. More often than not, Stern offered no treatment at all because of poor therapeutic outcomes. But he was encountering more people with the disorder in his practice, and believed identifying this group of people was vital in order to successfully treat them. Before Stern, psychoanalysts considered the disorder an invalid or wastebasket concept. The first characteristic of BPD that Stern described was narcissism below the normal range. He noted that the people he deemed borderline had significant deficits in their levels of self-worth and self-assurance, which he proposed resulted from a lack of early affection from caregivers and drove the other symptoms of the disorder. These included psychic bleeding, or a vulnerability to painful or traumatic experiences, hypersensitivity that could develop into mild paranoia, a lack of tolerance for change, poor responses to treatment, feelings of inferiority, masochism, or high rates of self-inflicted harm, anxiety, a tendency to project negative expectations onto the world around the sufferer, and difficulties in thinking realistically or altered perceptions of reality. Stern was instrumental in recognizing the symptoms of what is now understood as BPD. However, the term borderline belonged to neither classic psychoanalysis nor traditional psychiatry. Instead, it represented a liminal state for those whose mental health bordered on numerous established diagnoses. Before 1970, people with BPD were largely seen as extremely difficult to treat or altogether untreatable. In the 1980s, psychiatry started its shift away from psychoanalysis and into more biological understandings of mental illness. The interdisciplinary approach recognized mental illnesses as a function of the nervous system, which allowed researchers to differentiate BPD from illnesses like schizophrenia or depression. More studies emerged that illuminated the connection between BPD and early...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?